Going to be in Luke. We're going to do something a little off the beaten path, as it were, because
we are.
No, Dusty asked me to teach and said I had kind of free rein on what I wanted to teach on. And really, you know, as I consider where you guys are in your lives, I know that there's some of you that are just entering the college group, just entering those college years, and you're getting ready to start like your first official semester as a college student. Some of you are finished up with that or finishing that, or maybe, you know, 3 more years from now you'll be done, maybe. And some of you I know in this group are moving on, like Brooks Alexander, who, you know, headed to San Diego to start doing flight school. I mean, some of you are making major life decisions right now, and it's a really cool place to be. It doesn't always feel that way, but it really is, because you've got so much potential and options ahead of you. And really, as I consider what did I want to teach, what could I try to impart to you from God's Word, I really thought of one of the things that every single one of you needs, and I need it too, and so do all the leaders, and really every Christian needs, and that is maturity. There's a biblical call over and over again in the Bible to press on, to desire, to attain to maturity. And guys, I can guarantee you, if you start that process now and you start working towards maturity now, you will see the fruit of that for the rest of your life. You know, selfishness is one telltale sign of immaturity, right? We just talked about, you know, the Karen just had a baby, right? Have you been around a baby before, like young babies? Like, how selfish are they? Right? Like, all they care about is themselves. Like, I'm hungry, I'm wet, I want to sleep. Whatever it is, it's all about them. Right? They don't care. They don't know that mom's tired or dad doesn't want to change that diaper right now. Right? They just care about what they want. Right? They don't give anything. They only receive. And really, there's nothing wrong with that at a certain developmental stage, right? We would expect the Karen's baby has a couple of weeks before he really starts pitching it around the house, okay? Right? But at some point, when you see a child whose development is so far behind, it's really sad. It's really unpleasant. I was actually meeting with a guy earlier today, and he was sharing a story. He owns a karate place, like a dojo, whatever you call that, right? And his wife does all the uniforms and everything. And this seventh grader came in with his mom to get the uniform, and he was so unhappy about getting the uniform, so uncooperative, that he wouldn't put anything on, he wouldn't try anything on, wouldn't cooperate at all. He just stood there with his arms crossed the whole time, wouldn't do anything. So finally, they had to buy something, and the store owner said, hey, you know, there's no returns. Like, this is like, you got to get the right size or you're not going to get it back. And he wouldn't cooperate. So they just bought something. Well, it didn't fit. It didn't fit. And so the dad came back saying, hey, this is the wrong size. We need a new size. And they're like, no. We explained. We told them this is it. And the dad threw a fit, like screaming and yelling and threatening to sue and all this stuff, you know. And it's like, wow. There's immaturity from a seventh grader, you know, actually a seventh grader acting in a way that's completely unacceptable at that age. And here's a dad that's even worse. It's like, no kidding, that's where the son gets it from, right? But it's so sad when you see that in out in, you know, road rage and all these different things, people just flipping out over just the smallest things. It's a tragedy. But unfortunately, it's even sadder when you see spiritual immaturity in the church, when you see people that have been exposed to the truth, and instead of growing, developing, and maturing, they're just as self-centered as when they were a baby. They don't give, they only receive. They don't say thank you, they just expect and demand. That's the real tragedy. You know, the term that's called arrested development. You know, you have arrested, you've stopped developing. And if that happens in your spiritual life, it results in a lack of discernment. As a baby crawls around, they find something on the floor, what are they going to do? Pop it in their mouth, right? Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if it's something bad or good or whatever, right? Spiritual babies don't know what's good for them either. And so they may walk along and someone tells them something and they just pop it in their head and away they go to their own detriment. Guys, I want to explain to you that immaturity spiritually leads to a failure to discern, a failure to understand the truth and be able to grow and know what's right and what's wrong. So I want to take you to a passage in Hebrews. Hebrews is an amazing book. If you've not studied it, you should, because it's chock full of theology based strongly on the Old Testament. So it really builds on the Old Testament and explains how Christ has done things that fulfill and supersede all that was promised in the Old Testament. But it also is interspersed with many warnings, many pleas to the people that are written to wake up and realize that they're in danger. So in chapter 5, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 5, the writer of Hebrews starts talking about the high priest and the work that Aaron and the followers of Aaron did. And then it talks in verse 5 about Christ and being the ultimate high priest, the perfect high priest. And in verse 6, it says he's a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And then the reality of what Jesus did as the ultimate offering for sin. And then it bounces back in verse 11. It says, concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain. Now, him there is Melchizedek, right? How many of you Bible scholars remember who Melchizedek is? Okay, right? Mentioned where? Yes, right? Like one kind of small episode in Abraham's life. And what was unique about Melchizedek? Yeah, he was a king and a priest, right? So Jesus was a type. He was a type of what Jesus was. And so he says here, you know, you guys, you Hebrews, I want to tell you so much. There's so much here that we could talk about, but there's a problem. It's hard to explain because you've become dull of hearing. And he says, there's a problem, guys. You're not ready to hear the words that I want to tell you. Now, he's been leading up to this throughout the book. And again, we don't have time to go through the whole book. But in chapter 2, it says, pay close attention to the message you've heard, lest you drift away. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, consider Jesus, or listen to, examine, pay attention to. In 3:8, it says, don't harden your hearts like Israel did in the wilderness. In 3:12, it says, take care, lest you have an evil heart of unbelief. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, fear lest you fail to enter God's rest. In 4:11, he says, be diligent to enter God's rest lest you fall by disobedience. And in 4:14, it says, hold fast to your confession. He's been warning and pleading and kind of prodding these Hebrews to understand that there's a problem, guys. There's a problem. And here in chapter 5, he finally comes out and he explains what the problem is. And the problem is a lack of a dullness of hearing, a lack of listening. So that's what's behind all of the exhortations, the pleas to be careful and consider and don't harden your hearts and fear and be diligent and hold fast and all those things that your leaders say to you, your parents say to you. These warnings as you grow up, hey, be careful how you make this decision. Be careful how you consider this because it's important. So he says the problem is that there's dullness of hearing. So if we have dullness of hearing, what do you do about that? How do you handle that if that's going on? As we absorb the truth of God's word, we grow up and are built up. You might accurately say that the process of spiritual growth is a process of training for discernment. What the writer of Hebrews here is saying is you're babies. You're babies. And in verse 12, it says, you know, by this time you ought to have been teachers instead. I've got to go back and teach you the elementary principles again. The oracles of God, you have come to need milk and not solid food. And again, for babies, we would expect they would drink milk, right? The Karens are, I mean, as much as you want to say baby carrots, You don't give baby carrots to babies, right? Not good. You give them milk. And you give them milk until they're old enough and mature enough to be able to digest harder foods. And he's saying, spiritually, guys, y'all are still feeding on the milk. And I'm not saying all of y'all are this way. Please be careful. I'm going to be careful not to say I'm accusing each of you this way. I'm saying we all need to be careful that we aren't sitting back and just waiting to receive. He says we're dull of hearing, or we have a tendency to be dull of hearing. The Greek word here, it means no push in the hearing, slow or sluggish in mind as well as the ears. Thomas Hewitt said his readers had become confused and limited in their minds through apathy and mental listlessness. They had become dull of hearing, which is a common Greek ethical term for sluggish intelligence. Guys, have you become dull of hearing? Most of you have grown up in this church. You've been around teaching, solid teaching of God's Word from the time you were in nursery and they were saying the Bible is... Right? Y'all all know that, right? You knew that when you were one or two, right? Is that as far as your knowledge has gotten? Is some of those things you learned? Maybe you know it, but you're not actively hearing God's word anymore. Not actively listening. Guys, an immaturity of faith is going to lead to a lack of discernment. You're going to be a baby. Guys, you're going to go into college classes and they're going to try to teach you things. And they might not come out and say, hey, the Bible is wrong and I'm going to show you how. They're just going to start teaching you a worldview with the assumption that you believe it. And they're going to challenge you to defend your faith. Or maybe they're not. Maybe they're just going to keep slowly soaking you in to their way of thinking. You know, you've ever seen, it's kind of fun science project, you know, you put like carnations, especially it works really good, but you put carnations instead of like clear water, you put them in blue water, and then over time, like the blue gets soaked up and the petals that were white turn blue, right? Guys, you can do that in your mind. You can sit there in a class, and if you're not actively thinking about what you're being taught and comparing that with God's word, you can just soak that stuff in. You can listen it in. You know, the music you listen to is in your head a lot more than you might think about. And if you're listening to things that are anti-biblical, anti-God, and that's just flowing through your brain without you even having to hardly work at it, you can be affected. So spiritual immaturity leads to a lack of discernment. Guys, it's not a good situation. It says in verse 14 that the flip side is true as well. That discernment and maturity go hand in hand. It says, verse 14, but solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Guys, we can grow in discernment as we grow in maturity. And it happens through work. Right? He didn't say, the solid food is for the mature who, because they come to Sunday school, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. It didn't even say that because they come and serve in Awana, they have their senses trained. This thing is a mental muscle that you're training. The idea is it's a regiment. It's a routine. It's an exercise that you go through to train your mind to discern what is good and evil. Verse 14 does not say that the milk of the word should produce new muscle. It says into effect that the milk should produce a new mind, a mind that can discern between good and evil. Guys, if you catch this now, you could save yourself years of wasted living. Years of looking back and saying, wow, when I was 18, 19, 20, 21, 25, 27, what was I thinking? What was going on there? Guys, the word is rich and nutritional. It's precious milk of God's gospel that promises to transform your moral senses, your spiritual mind, so that you can discern between good and evil. you know, in the room next door. I'm sure you've seen they're getting ready for the master's seminary, you know, live feed thing, which is really cool technologically, right? But on the walls, did anybody see what's on the walls there? Theologian pictures, you know, John Calvin, John Edwards, that kind of thing, right? Did everybody know and identify who those people were? No. Have you read any of their works? Some? It's hard, right? If you pull out some of those books and you go, okay, I'm gonna get into this. John Calvin's Institutes for Christian Religion. Yeah. Let's do it. Guys, he started writing that when he was 19. Okay, he started writing that when he was your age. And it's lasted for centuries as the guidebook of how to think biblically and understand the Bible. Nowadays, you know, our church, you know, if you talk to anybody, you show, hey, listen to Pastor Tom's sermons, you know, I'm sure if you've ever done that to any of your friends, they're like, whoa, too much. I need my 15-minute little nugget. Feed me something that feels good. Start with the movie I know and then kind of draw out some biblical things to help me understand it. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, it was start out with a music song and, hey, let's play this U2 song and then we'll talk about how that kind of relates to the gospel, kind of, right? Guys, our standards are so low as a Christian culture, we lack maturity. Reality is, guys, the startling truth is that if you stumble over Melchizedek, those things that are hard, those things that are challenging, those things that don't come easy, it may be because you watch questionable TV programs. If you stumble over the doctrine of election, it may be because you still use some shady business or work practices. If you stumble over the God-centered work of Christ on the cross, it may be because you love money and spend too much and give too little. The pathway to maturity and to solid biblical food is not first becoming an intelligent person, but becoming an obedient person. What you do with alcohol and sex and money and leisure and food and the computer have more to do with your capacity for solid food than where you go to school and what books you read. Guys, those things that you feast upon are the things that you will live out. I don't know computer program at all, but I know one thing, right? GIGO. Everybody ever heard that? Someone said it. Garbage in, garbage out. Okay, if you put garbage in the back end software, guess what? You're going to have glitches and problems when you come to use it. Guys, if you're filling your mind and your heart and your life with garbage, you're not going to grow biblically. You're not going to grow in your understanding of God's Word. Guys, when it talks about that their senses are trained, we're not talking about emotion. We're talking about your mind. Because of practice, your mind has been trained to discern. Guys, consider what the Old Testament says about this in Psalm 119, which I could just read the whole psalm and sit down and be quiet and probably be good. It says, teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Proverbs 2:2-5 says, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek for her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Proverbs 10:13 says, on the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found. And Proverbs 16:21 says, the wise in heart will be called discerning. Guys, the path of discernment is the only way to spiritual maturity. Guys, and that takes a mastery of God's Word. Okay, now, when we talk about mastery, we're not talking about, I kind of know it. I've read it through once. Maybe I've read it through twice. Maybe I've read it through every year since I was 10. It's about understanding and applying. And guys, we can master so many things in this world that really ultimately don't matter, right? But for those that regard a healthy diet as important, right, they watch really carefully what they eat, right? They look at the labels and make sure the fat content's right, the sugar and all that. And you know, they weigh, if they're really intense, they weigh their food and make sure they're getting exactly the right amount. You know, all this stuff, right? But you've seen that. When someone gets really serious about their health, they change the way they eat. As people that work with pesticides or dangerous chemicals, they have to be very discerning, right? You put the wrong mix in there, you have problems. Right, so they study the procedures and the precautions very carefully to avoid potential lethal exposure. Guys, the Bible warns us about lethal exposure. Are you studying it carefully? People who make investments on the stock market practice discernment normally. Okay, they study the listings on the newspaper, the stock market. They watch the ticker tape. They keep up. They know everything they can know about that stock or that company, so they can make a good decision. Lawyers are very discerning with contracts. They have to figure out all the legal jargon, make sure they understand what they're signing, right? I just dealt with a guy who's a CFO, and he wanted basically for me to just explain almost every paragraph to him. And I'm not a lawyer. I don't understand it. So I had to go get answers for everything. But he wasn't going to sign it, even though he'd already was in contract with us and we're just renewing it. He didn't want to sign it till he understood every word. Maybe a little closer to home, a lot of people are very discerning sports enthusiasts, right? It's fantasy football time. You know, that's almost more exciting than the actual games is the fact that we've got fantasy football drafts coming, right? And people can spend hours devoted, poring over stats and understanding everything about every player and all these different things. What could be more important than spiritual discernment? Guys, I want you to understand that this is so important. Guys, the warning here in Hebrews chapter 5 is clear. The need for maturity and discernment is evident. Guys, the Holy Spirit inspired this passage and it preserved it for us just like it did all other scripture. Why? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Guys, the word will change us if we are diligent to study and to grow. Guys, in chapter 6, the writer kind of pushes forward. In fact, it's real obvious. It says, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God's instructions about washing and laying on the hands and resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Guys, those basic things, again, that doesn't sound basic to us because we don't teach that stuff, right? That's these Old Testament believers that came to Christ. But he gives a warning here that's pretty scary. It says, for in the case of those who have been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away. I'm going to stop there and make sure you understand. All of these words are never anywhere in Scripture to talk about a true believer. Tasting is not only believers. Having seen these things, having been partakers, that means they've tasted, they've tested, they've sampled. You know, if you go to Costco, boy, you can have a lot of samples, right? It's not the same as buying the 15-pound whatever it is that they're selling that you just had this one little ounce, right? They can sample, you can sample all day, but not really dig in and consume. And it says if you are one of those, for those that have done that, that have tasted and seen and have touched on these things that are things of God and then fall away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they have crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. There's this dire warning for each of us that we not just kind of sample. And again, some of it may be, you know, forced on you because you were a kid and your parents said, you're going. I don't care, you're going. Now you're a little bit older and maybe you come of your own free will, and that's great. But if you're not actively growing, you're not desiring, you're not training yourself, training your mind to live out the things of God, and you're in danger. I'm about out of time, but I have like 50 verses I could just read through, rattle off really quick. But guys, understand, I took one passage and I tried to explain to you that growing in maturity will help you grow in discernment. And if you don't grow, you don't train your mind in God's word, you won't grow. If you stay a baby, you will lack discernment, and that could lead to utter ruin. But guys, there's passage after passage after passage after passage that warns, encourages, exhorts, reproves, corrects our thinking so that we would do the things that God has called us to do. That we would pursue discernment, pursue maturity, that we would train our minds on God's word. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you have given us your word. And Lord, that more than that, you've given us your word that is active and living. Lord, that can parse out the very smallest parts of our hearts and our minds. And Lord, that you use your word to change us. Lord, we thank you that you have promised that if we feast on your word, if we study it, and we consider it, that we will grow. That we will grow in spiritual maturity, that we will grow in becoming more and more like you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that. Help us to desire your word as much as we desire Facebook. Help us to desire your word as much as we desire fantasy football. Help us to desire your word as much as we desire Netflix. Help us to grow up, to not be babies, but to become mature men and women of God that can change others' lives around them. In Jesus' name, amen.